try it one more time, over and over.
Over and over. He holds me and he makes me into his image. He fashions his clay.
Special request tonight. As we approach His divine presence, we want to remember that He that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. But what a blessed privilege we have to come into His presence, and to know when we come in the merits of His supreme sacrifice, we can come with boldness. That means confidence. Because that sacrifice was accepted. Father, we thank you tonight. We consider it such a blessed opportunity, dear God, to have this privilege to draw near unto you. We know what it means to be able to draw near, Father. That is to have access to your presence. That is to be able to come into your courts, to come right before your great throne of grace. And knowing, dear God, that you promise we shall obtain mercy and we shall find grace to help us in time of need. And that brings assurance to our hearts, Father. Because, Lord, we know that there was a forerunner who entered in for us. And, dear God, because of his great propitiatory work that he did, knowing, O God, that his blood was all sufficient to take care of every thing that concerned us. Lord God, every molecule of sin was broken up. Everything that handwritten an ordinance against us was nailed on that tree. Every principality and power spoil. Dear God, we can come, Father. And oh God, we see what has been ours and what we have been robbed from. And what, Lord God, is now available to us again. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will just move among us tonight. And faith would be inspired in every heart, dear God. And we can reach forth and apprehend these things, Father. Oh God, we can take a hold of it, dear God. And Lord God, we can go from this place rejoicing tonight. Whether it is healing, dear God. Lord God, whether it is another touch from your Holy Spirit. Whether, Lord God, it is a financial need that we may have. Whatever our circumstances, dear God. Lord Jesus, we know you promise you shall supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. And we confess tonight that you are the great Jehovah Jireh. Oh God, the Lord will provide tonight for himself. Hallelujah. Bless your children tonight, Father. God, look into every heart. And where, Lord, you see that faith reaching forth, how we pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit, Father, will take note and you'll respond to them, dear God, in the affirmative tonight, just what they have need of. And Lord God, those who may not have sufficient faith, let the word fall in them places, dear God. Whatever the condition that they need to meet, dear Father, we pray that the Spirit will speak to their heart. And Lord God, be clear in their minds, dear God. And that, dear God, whatever it is, Father, they can rise up into that spot, Lord, and receive what they have need of tonight. That your church can be encouraged. Lord, your people can be lifted up in spirit, dear God. They can be strengthened tonight, Father. And we can march on forward in this great work of faith. May you grant it tonight, dear God. We thank you for the privilege to be here in your house again. We thank you, Lord God, knowing, Lord, that Lord, the opportunity that we have to gather together like this, Lord, is getting fewer and fewer. And it says, redeeming the time, knowing the days are evil. Oh, God, we want to buy up all these opportunities, dear God, and make a night, Lord, we make it count, Father. This very privilege we have, Lord. Lord God, to be in your presence, let the Spirit of the living God, Father, move in a special way among us tonight and minister personally and individually to each and every one, whatever the need might be tonight. And when we leave this place, we can leave rejoicing, Father. We will not fail to give you praise and thanks. Remember those, dear God, out in the islands, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight, we bring them before you. They are as needy as us, O God. Father, we together are a needy people, but we look to you, the all-sufficient one tonight. We look to you, the one who gave the promise, Father. We look to you, the one who is faithful to the promise. The one who is ready to confirm the promise tonight. And Lord Jesus, may you pour out your Spirit, Lord, even among them, Lord, tonight, Father. Lord, as they gather together and look with you with great expectations, may they not be disappointed, we pray. And may you meet every need according to your riches and glory. We ask it in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. And amen. Amen. God, we should bless you. May I have your seat. We have a reminder here. God bless you tonight, and we certainly be glad to be in this house. I want to welcome all of you that is gathered here. I'm just sorry to be late. Study all these and thought I was going to come and preach in the last meeting when I finish. And I just felt like a little check a little bit to play a tape. So I wanted to, from preaching on Sunday instead of continuing on, I felt it would be appropriate that we look back at that tape that we had spoken on 1 Samuel 7, which is what I was referring to on Sunday in preaching, that we must have a Mizpah first before we can have Ebenezer. And the message on Sunday, I think it was one of those junction time messages that the Holy Spirit was so gracious to us to give us such a great outpouring in the Word like He did. It was so tremendous, and I just think I kind of outdid myself, because all day Sunday, Monday, I was really trying to rise up, and it just seemed so difficult after that great strain there from bringing the Word on Sunday. But nevertheless, it was such a great inspiration, and I would like to speak tonight maybe on the four horns of the golden altar. And I just felt the check, because there's a power in prayer, and I wanted to kind of speak a little bit on that tonight. And I just felt it would be appropriate to, you see, you have to follow the Holy Spirit just as you feel led, because, you know, we walk in these things by faith, and He knows how to lead us. And we just want to make sure that we're not just preaching and it's going over our heads, but as a church, the places where we feel the Holy Spirit is holding us to fellowship with those things, to really grasp it, and to digest it, to get under the influence of it, that we can certainly feel in our hearts that this is the will of God, and we are certainly striving to meet every requirement of His. And I trust that He's blessing you and is making you to be more hungry in your own heart, that you are desiring to strive to really enter into that place. As we said, we desire to see that and understand, you know, and get a real grasp on what it is to be a real praying church in the light that God presents it to us from the Word. Now, we all know we pray, and we all know we don't want to stop praying. We want to grow in our prayer. But, you know, when you read in the New Testament especially, and you read the prayers of the apostles, it makes you realize you don't hear people praying that way hardly. When Paul talked about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and you may know the hope of your calling and the exceeding greatness of His riches, I can't remember I hear nobody praying like that. Or when you come for a meeting and really trying to proceed and strive. And it's because people today are living on such a lower plane than where they lived and walk. And, you know, when they function, when they exercise, when they're writing that book of Acts, it was because these things had become a personal possession for them. They knew what the hope of the calling was. They knew what the exceeding greatness of his riches in Christ was. They knew what the glory of the riches of the inheritance in the saints was. They knew that they were in Ephesians at the end of the age. They knew they had crossed over, and they was all allotted a portion of the Spirit. God had dealt every man a measure, and that church was functioning effectually and fervently. You know, they were built up in that faith, and they saw the same works that Jesus did operating in through the apostles. The dead was being raised, the sick was being healed, and it was no psychology, it was no put on, it was no make believe, it was no kind of get down on the ground and bawl and cry and try to pull down God over the sky. It was men who knew God was in them. It was men who, by the Holy Spirit coming to such a place, they could hear from God. God was speaking to them. They were the recipient of the thoughts of God. They had visions and angelic visitations. They had direction in service. So when you look at the prayers and Paul praying in Philippians and Colossians, when you see men like Epaphras, men who wasn't just take up and praying, gimme, gimme, gimme. They had broken beyond that and was praying for the church in Hierapolis and the church in Laodicea and the church in Colossae, that they stand perfect in all the will of God. Because when they saw the condition of the age, and they know that Roman power, them slaughtering angels, is going to be let loose, and a great destruction was going to take place because the message that they were believing was rejected. You know, it was a great thing for them. And so, you know, when you see that, you realize that they lived in a certain place. They lived in a certain place. And they walked with God in a certain place. And Paul, that dead raised, he said, relax everybody. Step down, raise the dead, come back, and the service continue on. Peter went out there to Lydia and went out to Joppa and went out to different places. And wherever he went, there were signs and wonders following him from place to place to place. And because they believed there was anointing and commission. Not only did they know there was anointing and commission, the people who was around them knew that they were anointed and commissioned. They didn't say, come and stand in our shadow. They didn't say, come and do these things. No. People saw that God was in them. People was convinced the same God in Jesus had come inside of them. They knew that reality. And that's the thing. When we look at one another, we must know these are anointed people. These people is called of God. These people are separated from sin. These people are filled with the Holy Ghost. I was there when the Holy Ghost come back a second time and refill them. Amen. I'm part of that church. These people knew those things. And when people came among them, they saw them in one mind and one accord. And the Bible says when they stood there, there was in one mind and one accord. And people took note of those things. People took note that these men had been with Jesus. They said, these are the men that turned the world upside down. But they wasn't just trying to go to church. And how many know that bride tree is to be restored in this hour? Amen. Is that why the message came? Amen. That the house of God will live again. The pyramid shall stand again. The tree of life shall bloom again. Amen. That there shall be a former and latter rain in the last days. Amen. Dynamics and mechanics. Is that right? Amen. The angels sowed for that. Amen. Start from the serpent seed all the way to the messenger in the latter rain. The end time seed sign. The end time messenger. The evening light coming. Is that what you believe? Yes. Amen. Did Joel prophesy that? Yes, sir. Joel said that. Joel chapter 2. The promise that for the last days. And we know that that's the promise, friends. That's why we're here tonight. And it's good to see you come and to see, you know, you begin to catch the vision. I believe you're catching. I believe that you're becoming convinced. You can't sit in God's presence like we did Sunday and then, you know, just walk out. No, there is a place you want to stop. I want to get what the Spirit is saying. I want to see it in my life. Every time I go to Psalm to pray, I want to be conscious that I'm standing there in the presence of Almighty God, that I'm part of that royal priesthood in the last days. I order after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. A word order, an eternal order. Amen. Amen. People who are a priest by a new birth. That would make them part of this priesthood, a new birth. Is that right? and they are robed with garments of glory through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are robed with power. Amen. They are robed with divine revelation of the glory of God. Like Jacob gave Joseph a rainbow coat. He was robed in something, seven colors, reflecting a covenant, reflecting light from the throne. Amen. You can catch the thoughts of God. Is that right? Better preach. Just maybe if you're just good enough to do that, let's stand to our feet. Maybe I should a little bit. Amen. You're glutton for word. See, I don't want to get. Sometimes I'm very sensitive. People, you know, new things and they want things, and you know, I'm kind of sensitive to that type of thing. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Chapter 8. I'm just going to be talking, track one or two little things maybe, and see how it goes first. I'm trying to be a little wise and taking my health too. Sometimes people say, hey, we're praying for the minister, and they come to the pulpit, and the words that are coming forward, they want to preach, preach, preach. And then when you're done, you know, you got to be a little wise. So I ain't 25 no more, past 25 twice, what the prophet say. Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. These are things that pertains to the office of a priest, a censer, a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. And we were looking there, there was an altar of incense. And that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. Not of all people, but all saints. Upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. That is how exactly it was on the earth. God told Moses, put the golden altar before the throne. And the throne was that with the mercy seat where the ark was. That was the little cover of the ark. It was a throne of judgment when it had no blood. It was a throne of mercy when it had blood. And God is to dwell between the wings of the cherubim above the mercy seat. So God used to be on his throne there. And that represented what was in heaven. But now we are looking at the heavenly sanctuary here. So we realize that in heaven there is a golden altar before the throne. Just like it was told, put on earth. And that's why on earth tonight there has to be a golden altar before the throne too. That's right. Because heaven and earth must be one. Must be in harmony. Is that right? When Jesus was on earth, he was the tabernacle. Before he was on earth, they had the temple. Is that right? Before they had the temple, they had the tabernacle Moses built. And after the tabernacle Moses built, tabernacle Solomon built, then Jesus, then the church became that temple. Is that right? You are a holy temple, a habitation for the Spirit of God. Lively stones build up a spiritual house. And the church is here today, in the last age, is coming to completion. Is that right? My. That he should offer to the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar. And cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And we have gone through that over and over the years. The seventh seal, your seventh trumpet, and your seventh vial is always lightnings, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. And that has happened in this day. That has happened in this day. When that whirlwind of fire came down, lightning, it made three blasts. Thunders. The men heard the blast, he heard the voice. He spoke three words, voices. I said, judgment strike in the West Coast. And Alaska almost sunk. Is that right? Amen. That's right. to show that when the seventh seal broke, the seventh angel was on the earth. Judgment started in the earth because mercy was spurned. Is Christ in the outside of the church? Has they rejected Jesus Christ? Has he been indicted for crucifying him the second time? That's right. Then what follows rejection of the word? When mercy is spurned, what follows?
Judgment.
Is a prophet a sign of coming judgment? When they rejected the first two signs of Moses, was there a third sign that was judgment? I give it two signs. I give the prophet Moses two signs. When they were rejected, did he throw up a rock in the air? Is that right? Now I'm just reminding you of these things now. So you know that. So you can see the hour. And also you want to turn to Revelation 9. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So here now, we see that under that seventh seal, seven angels were given seven trumpets, who were preparing to sound. Here we see when that sixth angel sounded, John said, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. It's still before God. That's where it was placed. That was the position of the altar. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And you know, when you follow that out, it goes on to tell you how these men were killed. I'm just going to just show that in verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire, by smoke, and by the brimstone which issued of their mouths. May the Lord bless the universe. You may have a seat. These are things that, if I go to spend time on some of these symbols, because I'm not so much dealing with the prophecy alone in the book of Revelation, but I'm more trying to strike the emphasis of prayer. But you know, we have gone through these things over the years, especially in this church. That has been my message. These seven trumpets to speak and to show that those things also pertain to us, because all seven seals is the entire word. And every mystery was revealed in the seven seals. Seven church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven vials. It was all sealed up in the book that was sealed with seven seals. And when seven thunders uttered the voices, out of the ages came the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials, and the whole book of Revelation has been opened. Is that right? We know that. We believe that. And, you know, these trumpets in the book of Revelation, they follow the seals. You have the church. The book of Revelation deals with seven church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. And then it's sealed up with seven thunders. Out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials. But when you go to the book of Leviticus, the trumpets don't follow the seals, the trumpets follow the ages. There's nothing about the seals here, because you have your feast of Pentecost, your feast of trumpets, your day of atonement, your feast of tabernacles. But when you come to the book of Revelation, the seals is injected between the church ages and the trumpets. And the reason for that is the feast of Pentecost dealt with the seven church ages. You know that. Feast of Pentecost, that was a long Pentecostal feast. When the church started the day of Pentecost, all the way until Feast of Trumpets gathered Israel back in the homeland. Is that right? The Jews were scattered into the world when they rejected Jesus Christ. But God promised, the fig tree shall put forth its bud. He was going to gather the Jews back in the homeland in the last days. Romans 11, Paul said, Israel blindness was in
part. But Israel's eyes will be open again when after the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Is that right? The Gentiles had seven church ages and we are in the last age. Is that right? The last age Christ is put on the outside of the church. Revelation 3:20. We have gone through that in the series on Samuel. They rejected the king. Is that right? He's on the outside of the church. The church will have gone into darkness. It's an age of apostasy. Well, in the book of Revelation, the seal is injected between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. Why? Why is that so? Because the church ages is only the history of the church. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Seven church ages. It gives you the history of the church, the messenger, the time, the promises, and these things. But there was a mystery behind the history. Is that right? Who is that messenger the first age? Who is that messenger the second age? What was the anointing? What was that lion coming forth? What was that man coming forth? What was that second living creature? What was that third living creature? That man. What was that fourth living creature? That eagle. There was mysteries in the ages. And the seals held the mystery. And for seven church ages, it went on with the book being remain sealed. Do you understand that? Because Revelation 10:7 says, weep not, John. He says, the land of the tribe of Judah will open these seals and so on. It will take the book. Then Revelation 10, when he come down and he go to write, when that mighty angel cried a loud voice as when a lion roared, and seven turned out of the voices, John go to write it. He said, don't write it, John. Seal it up. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sing, the mystery of God would be finished. Showing that the book will remain a sealed book. Because Jesus was interceding for seven church ages. Is that right? The church is made up of seven church ages. Out of the Gentiles, he's calling a people for his name's sake. Is that right? Calling a people out of the Gentiles. While the Jews were blinded, he's calling a people out of the Gentiles. Just like when Joseph's brothers rejected Joseph. Is that right? Joseph got a Gentile wife. Is that right? And then the time came, his brothers were gathered back together around him. Is that right? And he dismissed everybody from around him to reveal himself to his brothers and them. Is that right? And the Bible shows us how the bride of Christ, this Gentile wife, he have gotten through seven church ages, will be raptured. Is there a rapture promised the church? Does the rapture come in the seventh age? Like Enoch. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Is that right? And he was translated. He did not die. Is that right? A type of the seventh church age from the second Adam that will be translated without seeing death. Does the Bible teach that? That's right. It's promised. So we realize that just like Joseph, bride had to be dismissed before he make himself known to the Jews. God do not deal with the two at the same time. That's why for seven church ages there's no revival in Israel. But when you see the figure put for his bud, you know that generation shall not pass away. His nigh is even at the doors. Is that right? Oh my, the scripture is so plain. And so the church is in the last age. If Jesus Christ is rejected, from the Catholics to the Pentecostals, there is not one. The Catholic was the first organization. How many knows that? Roman Catholic Church. Is she called the mother of harlots? A mother, that means she has children. Harlots is daughters. That's women. That's prostitutes. Is that right? Out of the Catholic Church came forth what? The Protestant churches. Is that right? From Luther, then the Anglicans, then all the way through the Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holiness, all the way to Pentecostals. Prostitute churches. Amen. That's Christianity. What we know as fundamental Christianity. Christendom. Out of that is Baha'i, is Buddhism, is Hinduism, is Mohammedanism, is all these unchristian religions. but Christianity from the Catholic to the Pentecostals, and they are all denominations. But God Church is not a denomination. Denomination is a man-made system. But there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Upon this rock I will build my church. Is that right? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah! God Church. Lively stones build up a spiritual house. Amen. Building seven church ages. And the rapture comes in the seventh age. Then if we enter the seventh age, then the church must be getting ready to go. Is that right? At midnight there's a low cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and the virgins awoke. Is that right? How many know that's the Bible? That's a parable of the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It was a voice. And what was the voice saying? Go ye out to meet him. Is that right? He's on the outside. And the Bible says, and they awoke and they trimmed the lamps. And five did not have oil. Is that right? And they went to the wise and said, give us some of your oil. And they said, we cannot give you no oil. Go and buy it for yourself. And while they went to buy, the Bible says, and the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with the bridegroom, and the door was shut. Is that the Bible? And then the foolish ones came, and they tried to beat on the door, and was crying, Lord, open to us. And there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth on the outside. They were cast into outer darkness. Is that the scriptures? Yeah. Amen. So we realize there's a voice at midnight. And what was that voice doing? Announcing the coming of the Lord. A voice announcing the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord is a mystery. That's a mystery. Glory be to God. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's a mystery. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Shall he find faith? Yes, sir. He was going to restore back the faith. And how many know the Bible prophesied there's going to be a falling away in the last days? 2 Thessalonians 2. Paul said that day will not come. That man of sin will not be revealed until there come the falling away first. And that word, the falling away, is what? The apostasy. And apostasy is not just being deceived. No. Because the bride can be deceived. Temporarily. Sure she can. Many of you was deceiving the message. And truth had to wake you up. And you had to leave what you was in to come out. That's right. Not deceive from your eternal destination, but deceive while you're walking under false doctrine, under false teaching, under the influence of self-will and self-styled men. Obeying a past hour, failing to see the present tense word. Deceived. But apostasy is a willful rejection of the word. It is a departure from vindicated truth. It is a departure from the revealed word. Paul said, we are not of them that draw back. Amen. He says, after you taste the word of God, you fall away and you're carrying yourself into repentance. Is that right? He says, if you trample the blood and conquer a holy thing after it sanctify you, Hebrews 10:26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You come out, you begin to walk, and then he give you a Bible example. They came out to Egypt. They were justified under the blood in Egypt. The death angel didn't kill them. They come to the Red Sea. They were baptized. They come to the wilderness. But they came to Kadesh Barnea and they died. God swear in his wrath, they will not go into the promised land. Is that right? Jude say, after God saved them, he turned around and destroyed them. That's right. They didn't believe all the way. Look at Judas and the 70. They came right up. They was called. Judas was foreknown. He was elected. He was chosen. Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12? And what is the devil? He's born this in a position. Peter said he fell that he might go to his place. He shared the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. He was there when Jesus revealed it and gave the interpretation. He was foreknown by David and prophesied, he that eateth bread with me shall lift up his heel against me. So he was chosen. He was foreknown. He was given a part in the Holy Ghost ministry. He was given the mysteries of the kingdom. His name was written in heaven. When there was cast out devils and they came rejoicing. Is that right? Jesus said, "Don't rejoice that the devil is subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven." His name was written in heaven. Amen. But what happened? He never got the Pentecost. The 70, when he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." After he had given them power to cast out devils. They said, "That's a hard saying. Who could bear it?" And the Bible said, and they proceeded no further with him. They didn't follow on. And he turned and said, "If you continue my word, you shall be my disciples indeed." He said, he asked them, he said, "Will you go also?" They said, "Lord, no. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The elected stayed. Even Judas stayed up to that point. Is that right? St. John 6, when many walk away, Judas was still there. That's right. But St. John 13, Jesus said, "Do what you must do quickly." And Satan entered into his heart. Is that right? That's the Bible now. So we realize all these things that look how we see in the end time when this message comes to gather his elected people together. Many are being rejected. Many are being laid aside. And as we try to hold your mind here to see how at midnight that loud cry, "Behold the bridegroom cometh." He comes, a voice opening this mystery to gather the elect, to separate the righteous from the wicked. Amen. Just like when he came to Abraham. Abraham saw him appearing, is that right? Amen. He came and he did a sign. Now all these things pattern directly to us to let us know we are in the hour when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? He sent a prophet to restore that faith back. And Jesus told how that woman praying, there would be people in perseverant prayer. He tell the parable of the widow with the unjust judge. And that's why she was able to say, if the unjust judge would give that woman a chance, how much more will the Lord speedily avenge his elected people? Amen. Amen. So here, that's why we want to dig that, because we know that this church will be unified. Those were the things that we had struck there in Samuel. Samuel knew what it was going to take to bring the people back to how it was in the days of Moses and Joshua. Samuel was able to reunify the fragmented, scattered, broken up people. Samuel brought all Israel back to one. And Samuel was able to lead them into a true consecration where the presence of God was back among them, visible, routing the enemies, and they were able to repossess all that they had lost. Is that right? And we know it has to be like that. And when we saw that, the Holy Spirit come there Sunday, give us the message on the two altars in the tabernacle, that when Moses built that tabernacle, there was two altars. There were seven pieces of furniture, but two altars. The first piece of furniture was the brass altar. Then the brass laver. That's the second one. The third was the candlestick. The fourth was the table of shewbread. The fifth was the altar of incense. The sixth was the ark. The seventh was the mercy seat. Seven pieces of furniture. It also represents seven steps in the walk of the believer, bringing him back to God. Outside by the brass altar, he's a sinner. Inside the most holy place, at the mercy seat, he is one with God. That's the walk of the believer. That's the walk of the prophet. That's the walk of Paul and them in that first age. If you understand Hebrews 3 and 4 and Hebrews 9 and 10. Hebrews 3 and 4, Paul is shown from Egypt to Canaan. Hebrews 9 and 10, he's shown from the outer court to the most holy place. In the prophet ministry, he was in the Mount of Palestine, two-thirds of the journey, coming on to the last part. His experience was God met him in a cross, pillar of fire in the form of a cross, in the woodshed, all the way until he came to that little room where he spoke things into existence. That's the walk of every believer. That's the walk of us tonight. These things must be in our life. There must be evidence of self-crucifixion. There must be evidence of sins put away. There must be evidence of a man who's been identified with his sacrifice at the brass altar. He sees and understands that Christ died in his place, became sin under the judgment of God. He died the penalty of death for us. The man must see a cleansing at the laver, the waters of regeneration. He's born a water in spirit. He's anointed with oil. He's clothed with garments. His hair is sprinkled with blood. Water, blood, and oil at the laver. Is that right? That's the three elements in a bird. Water, blood, and spirit. Spirit is oil. Beaten olive oil. Where is he going? Into another realm where nobody else can come. The only people that could be in the most holy, in the holy place, in the most holy place, was Aaron and his sons. No other Israelite can come in there. No king, no potentate, no nothing can come in there. No elder, nobody can come in there except those sons of Aaron. And God was showing that those in Christ, those who come to the altar, as I was saying Sunday, some people live by the altar still. They never move past the altar. All they remember, they accept Jesus Christ one day. And when they speak of the experience, they speak of experience of when they saw Calvary and they accept Christ. They have not been washed with the waters of regeneration. They have not been sprinkled with blood, the right air, and the right thumb and the right toe. They have not been clothed with the garments. They have not been anointed with oil. Because before the man can enter into that realm, now to minister to God, not as a sinner now, but as a priest, his position has changed, his office has changed, his function has changed. He has access to God now. He's in a heavenly place. Amen. He's in a realm of faith, walking with God in a realm that the world knows nothing about, a world of perfect faith. He's quickened and raised up because that represented heavenly places. That was another dimension. That's why when the priest went in there, he went behind the eyes of the people. When Jesus ascended, they couldn't see him no more. He went through the veil. Is that right? That's a man in heavenly places. A man in heavenly places feeds on the word. He eats on the table of shewbread. Is that right? But he's a lamp that is lit and put on a lampstand. He's a witness. He has power in his testimony. After the Holy Ghost has come upon me, you shall be witnesses. Is that right? By the power of the Holy Spirit, they gave witness. Is that right? The testimony of a true witness. One who see, one who experience. The word will be made personalized in them. What lit them on the day of Pentecost? The same fire that consumed the sacrifice. As I show you Sunday, there is a light, the lampstand, with the holy fire from the altar. Because the fire on the altar was God, fire coming down, consuming the sacrifice. They would take the live coal. How was Isaiah cleansed? The seraphim took a live coal from the altar. What did that represent? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. God cleansing a man by fire. Amen. That's right. But you have to understand the administration of the tabernacle. That's the eternal thoughts of God. Any man get anything, that's the economy of God. That represents seven dimensions. You know that. Because under the altar, he said, where is Jesus? He's a little high up. He was still in another realm. Oh, I want to see him. He'll come to you when the time comes. That is the whole economy. That tabernacle is not just, you know, body, spirit, and soul. That's dispensations. Had a water age. Had a blood age. Had a Holy Ghost age. That's also dimensions. These three dimensions in the outer court. Is that right? That seventh dimension where God was. That sixth dimension in that heavenly place. Just below where God was. But your thoughts have to expand a little bit. Now how could the church, if these things are hard to grasp, is the church ready for the rapture? Because this is what brings you conscious of the function of God
they will give you consciousness of your approach to the presence of God. How could you get healing and deliverance of people if you can't approach God? Where are you going to get it from? It is in God. It is in the Holy Ghost. Healing, deliverance, the Holy Ghost, the revelation, all that is shut up in God. It's a man who could access God, could get those things. It's a man who could go in God's presence, could go into the presence of God and get the hidden manna from the golden pot and bring it back out and display something that he had been in the presence of God. Otherwise, you have to stay in the realm out here with learning and education. But inside of you, the Holy Spirit has got word fresh in the divine presence. It's where we walk with God. That's why the church ought to be growing up. But everybody, okay, every day you're feeling guilty, then you never live in your justification. Then you know, then how are you going to have peace and not living in the revelation of justification? Therefore, being justified, you have peace with God. And if you don't have peace with God, you have enmity with God. It's either enmity or peace. Peace is union. Enmity is separation. And if there's enmity, there's guilt and condemnation. And if there's guilt and condemnation, there's no faith. If your heart condemns you, you can't have confidence before God. And that's why when to believe, they always want somebody to pray for them. Because they don't see as a redeemed son and daughter, they have access to. They themselves as a priest can go in God's presence. Because it's not an Aaronic priesthood with one man standing there for your holy man, like a pope or something. No, sir. It's after the order of Melchizedek. The names revealed in the book to show you, you are part of the word. You are part of the eternal God. You are the feminine spirit taken out and now being revealed. You are the real temple of the living God. Amen. Where God wants us to walk and dwell. Where he wants us to live and operate. A church in the spirit. A church that has a grip on God. A church that is conscious the economy of God is set up. When Israel look around, they knew the economy of God was set up. They knew the appointed times and seasons. They knew when the Day of Atonement came. They knew when the Feast of the Passover came. They knew when the Feast of Tabernacles came. Even today, natural Israel know the times and seasons. They observe the appointed times. Is that right? But when the church had come out of Babylon at the end of the seventh decade and come back in the land of the fathers, many of them didn't know the time and seasons because the book hadn't really been opened up yet. But when Ezra took the book and opened up the book and Nehemiah and said, he said, "Oh, weep now. This time for the Feast of Tabernacles. This time for it to be joyous and rejoicing. Know your time, know your season, know your anointing." And that'll correct the people's attitude and set them in the channel to worship God correctly. Because worship had to be according to God's provided way. It is God who came down and said, "I want these seven things. And I want them in this specific order." Because any man trying to approach me that is a dead man. I want this altar and I want this incense. Any man of a different incense is a man cut off from the congregation. God didn't leave man to do nothing. God said how it was to be built, down to every cubit for every particular piece. Then God chose out the men who are going to build it. He said, "I will give them skill and wisdom and understanding." Is that right? Then God tell them the appointed times, when to come, what to bring, how to worship, how to offer it. Is that right? He didn't leave nothing for man to do. God said, "If you want to worship me and you want to be accepted, come this way." The ordering was God. The electing was God. Amen. He had the oversight. He had the leading. He had the preeminence. He ordered the way it should go. Nobody could tell him how to do it. Why? He is setting up his own economy that he may dwell among the people. Is that right? When you see God do something the first time, and you see God honor that, when somebody would obey that, and you see God would kill somebody when they would come contrary to that, then you, that is done for you to have instruction. And the first two men God killed, after he set up the approach and show the approach and show what to bring, and they come, they were the priest's son. There wasn't somebody trying to play priest like Korah and Uzziah. This was priests. And the judgment was so severe for priests. God is showing, that when God tells a priest, you must be born again. He didn't start with the prostitute. He started with Nicodemus, the priest. He started with man at his best state, the most moral man. Because for a man to be a rabbi, for a man to be a teacher, he had to be straight on that word. Otherwise, just stone him and kill him. He can't play around. And when Jesus talked about the new birth, he asked him, like, what can my mother's womb? He said, you are teaching Israel and you know these things. Then your congregation full of dead people. You're full of rotten eggs. Because you're a church full of people and you know the new birth. And you can't preach the new birth. What's going to happen? That's why Jesus, even after the casting out devils, healing the sick, doing all these things, he said, after you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Those manifesting gifts are not converted. He gave them power and they were not converted. Their name was in the Lamb book and not converted. Preaching the gospel and not converted. That's right. See, this is where, when you get down the word now, you begin to see. And that's why he said in the last days, men look and say, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in the name? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we speak in tongues? Didn't we do these things? He said, depart from you and work as iniquity. I never even knew you. Is that right? Because that's no sign of conversion, friends. Didn't Zedekiah prophesy? Thus said the Lord. Didn't Caiaphas prophesy? Didn't Balaam prophesy? Yet Balaam went to make a market for his gift. Going after money, is that right? Yet Caiaphas rejects Jesus Christ, is that right? Yet Zedekiah was trying to bless what God cursed. That's the Bible now. Didn't Hannah and I be up there? Thus said the Lord. Only 2 years and you're coming back. He died the very same year for that false prophecy. Trying to contradict Jeremiah. Is that right? He moved the people of that prophecy. Everybody's got to believe more than Jeremiah. The Bible even said Jeremiah say amen. God say, go and tell him. I'll make an iron yoke next time. But they're trying to bless the people. They're trying to preach prosperity. They're trying to preach. Isn't that what they're doing today? In our judgment? Trying to preach prosperity to people who reject Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Who reject the original gospel, come back? Vindicated message? 98% of the message is money? Like they forget to have a book of Revelation that's for the bride. They forget to have a book of Hebrews, you know what? The theology can't take them in there. And yet all these so-called people who rise up call themselves prophet today. This one is a prophet, this is a prophet, this is a prophet. Prophet of the Bible? And have a woman preacher? Prophet of the Bible and preaching false doctrine or false baptism? Prophet of the Bible preaching evil to apple? Prophet? You're making joke. Not prophet. But any true prophet have to say what the prophets in the Bible already said. The spirit in no true prophet today could contradict what the spirit in the Bible in them true prophets said. That's why we know God's not a true prophet. Because it brings us back to one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It brings us back to the Bible. Bring us back to the original gospel. Amen. It exposes the folly of organization. And we can see this darkness. That's right. Okay. Now, so here were these horns in that altar in heaven. Four horns of the golden altar. Bible tells us specifically it was four horns in Revelation 9. And he said, I heard a voice. Now, I want to just show you something in the
in the Old Testament, because when you from the time you go to the book of Revelation, you have to go back to the Old Testament, because in the book of Revelation it started with lampstands, seven golden lampstands. Where are you going to get that? You have to go back to the Old Testament. Where did that come from? Moses up in the mountain. It's the Ark of the Testimony in heaven. Where you have to go back to? The Tabernacle. You see the altar of incense. Where you have to go back to? The Tabernacle. All these things in the book of Revelation takes you back to how the economy of God was set up in the Old Testament.
Amen. That's right.
So isn't it an Old Testament thing? It's in the book of Revelation for this hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. The thoughts of God, eternal. When you see God do something one way, then if you have to have confidence in what you're doing must line up with the thing that God bless.
Amen.
You have to look back and see where somebody did that in the Bible and God bless it.
Amen.
You have to see where God gave that. You can't say, well, that's what most of the church is doing today. No, no, you can't say that.
No,
you can't say, well, the oldest church we have among the Catholic Church and they ought to know. No, no, you can't say that. That's why we have the Word. Let every man would be a lie and let God would be the truth. We go back to the original Word, amen, and see what the Word said. God, heaven will never pass away, but the Word will never ever pass away. Is that right? The Word, that Word is truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That Word is truth. So if the Word is true, then we have to come back to the Word. So here in two places, one, at the golden altar, here was that angel with the prayers of the saints being offered up with sweet incense. Well, them prayers have to be fulfilled now.
Amen.
You know, prayers be fulfilled in the millennium. Because you have to be in Christ to be in the millennium.
Amen.
Millennium is here in his bride. Is that right?
Yeah.
So then these prayers that was taught up there, they all have to come to the fulfillment. All the things the church saw and longed for and groaned and cried for and pleaded for is to be fulfilled in this hour.
Yeah.
And when the hearts of the children is being turned back to the faith of the fathers, this is part of the original tree. This is the original seed, coming, original planting, coming back to its original seed.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's one church.
Amen.
In that seven churches, seven ages of one church.
Amen.
The dispensation of grace, when God is calling the people out to the Gentiles over these last 2,000 years, it divided into seven dispensations with seven men. And every time God speaks to the angel of Ephesus, to the angel of Smyrna, to the angel, not angels, angels, singular. And every time it ends, he will have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Is that right? And God, in every age, give details so we can look back in history and recognize and identify when those things were fulfilled. Because it was a prophecy. And if we are at the end of the age, the prophecy must become history. The prophecy can be fulfilled and don't become history. If the prophecy fulfilled, next to history.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
My. I want to get a little closer to holding a little bit. Here, let me choose a scripture here a bit. Let's turn to Leviticus 4. I don't want to reread scriptures I already read, but you read Exodus 29, the ending of it, and Exodus 30, it tells about the brass altar and the golden altar. We read those on Friday. And I didn't read them back on Sunday for time's sake. And then tonight, we don't really want to be that long, so I'll read here in Leviticus 4. Is that what I call?
Yeah.
Leviticus 4, verse 5. Let's just read it. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary.
Now, how many know a priest is an intercessor?
Amen.
How many know the priest represents the people, but the prophet represents God?
Amen.
The prophet speaks, thus saith the Lord. He brings the word from God to the people. The priest goes in the presence of God on behalf of the people.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So you know those two functions. The function of a priest and the function of a prophet. When you see a priest going in the presence of God with blood, that's atonement for himself and the people.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Because the people was representative in the priest. That's why the priest would have 200 stones with the names engraved. He would have 12 birthstones on his breastplate with the names engraved of the 12 tribes. The breast represents his love. The shoulder represents his power. Type in Christ, our great high priest, in love and affection for the chosen elected people going in to make intercession. Just like we today are priests after the order of Melchizedek. Is that right? So that means we are son priests. Aaron, priest, was in his loins, his sons. It was a family of priests. The priesthood was in one family. The family in heaven and earth is named after the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? The name was on his thigh, and the name was in the forehead, and the name was in the book who the priesthood was put in. So when you find the name in the book, and you find the name on the thigh, and you find it in the forehead, it must be the same name. That's simple.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
Your forehead speaks of your revelation.
Right.
The thigh speaks of the loins.
Amen.
It's a euphemism, a soft word. Instead of saying loins, it's a thigh.
Right.
And all a man's seed is in his loins. I can only give birth to my sons and daughters into my family. Nobody joins my family. You're coming to my family by birth.
Amen. That's right.
You can join a lodge. That's why you can't join the real church of the living God. You are born into it. You're born into the kingdom. Is that right? You're born by a new birth. You come from the loins. And God's loins is his thoughts. The names were written before the foundation of the world. It was in the back part of God's mind. God, those whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. Those he predestinated, is them he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, already glorified. Is that right? You were chosen in Christ and predestinated unto the adoption of children, unto the placing. Family in heaven and family on earth. You who are alive and remain unto the coming, and all that are asleep in Christ will God bring with him. Is that right? The family made of the seven church ages. The family. Mine. And the priest that is anointed. I like that. Every man who goes in there has to be anointed. That's the problem in the church today. Anointed, I mean general. People not anointed. People finding the place in the all kind of service for God without being anointed for it. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood. That's the sacrificial blood. That's the blood of the sacrifice that was slain, a bullock. Christ was a bullock, the ox, Jehovah laboring servant. And bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood 4 times. Is that what it says here? 8 times. 7 times. Why? Speaking of 7 church ages covered by blood. 7 times. Before the Lord. Before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense. The blood from the brass altar is now coming on the horns of the altar. How many know the blood has a voice? Did Abel's blood have a voice? God said, the voice of thy brother's blood cry out unto me. Did Paul say, and the voice of the blood of Jesus speaketh better things? Is that right? Not like the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cried for revenge. But the blood of Jesus Christ speak pardon. Is that right? There was a voice from the horns, the 4 horns of the golden altar. There's a voice coming from the air. Horns speak of power. Horns speak of authority. The animal's strength is in its horns. So notice, you had to put some of that blood on the horns of the
altar of sweet incense. That was the golden altar. One was brass, that was the sacrificial altar. Those two altars, there's no Christians, I said, without them two altars. Because a Christian is one who identifies with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Could you be a Christian and you identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? No way. I am the way. No man come to the Father but by me. There's a way that's miracle a man by the end is death. Is that right? God only have one way. I am the way. I'm not a way. I'm the way. Without the way, there is no going. I am the truth. Without the truth, there is no knowing. I am the life. Without the life, there is no living. The way is seven steps. The truth is seven voices. The life is seven virtues. The whole plan laid in Jesus. He was the entirety of the Bible. Is that right? And his blood of the seven church ages, his church, who he redeemed by the blood. And he sprinkled seven drops, and then he put some on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord. And that's where the praise is ministered to God. That's where praise and worship and thanksgiving and supplication and prayer takes place. That's the position of the priest in the sanctuary. And notice how on earth now, the horns of the altar of the sweet incense before the Lord. In heaven it's before the Lord, on earth it's before the Lord. It's positioned right there before the mercy seat, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation. And shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. So here we have the two altars, the altar of the sweet incense and the altar of the burnt offering. And some of the, all the blood will be poured at the altar of burnt offering. But some will be taken in to put on the horns of the altar. My glory. Beautiful. Which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Leviticus 16. Quickly. Just before we go to Leviticus 16, let's drop down to verse 13 of Leviticus 4. I want to bring something out here. Leviticus 4, verse 13. And the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance. My. Catch this. See, put your thinking caps on here.
Amen. That's right.
If the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, and the thing be hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. So this is somebody who could commit a sin, is guilty before God, under the wrath of God, but then they wake up and they find out that they're wrong. Then they can get a bullock and bring it before the Lord to make atonement for them. Now that's something like Israel. They was blinded for us. They was blinded for us to come in. Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. The love of God to bring in the Gentiles blinded his own children. I'm going to bring it out for you just on the fifth seal. I'm quoting. So don't look at me with those superstitious eyes. If you have the spirit, you don't pick up what I've said already. Israel's blindness was in part. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then God have to come back to Israel. That's right. And Moses and Elijah will bring the true atonement to them. And Joseph, brothers who rejected Joseph, can't see Joseph. Is that right? Well, here's a story in the Bible in another place. Because this was, speaking of, a law for putting away the guilt of a national sin. How many know Israel will be saved as a nation? Not individual. God has dealt with the Gentiles as individuals. God has dealt with Israel as a nation. This was a law concerning the sin of the nation. National crime, national sin. How many of 12 tribes will weep and mourn when they see them wounds in his hands in the day of atonement? Is that right? Watch. I want to bring out these horns. In the book of Revelation, we see it. We see that where the prayer is being offered up for us. Our prayers, the prayers of the saints.
And we ought to see a voice from the horns of the altar saying to those, that third part of the men who was killed. They was killed how? Under persecution. By Hitler and Eichmann and them. They was killed. One third part of the men with smoke in the gas chambers. With fire in the ovens. A beat off, which I've seen them places. Then in the brimstone. Brimstone is sulfur. That's the bullets. When they have enough bullets to kill them, no more. Then they begin to gas them. And then they begin to cremate them. And by those three and one third part of the men, 6 million Jews was killed under the sixth trumpet. And history tells you the Jewish population at that time, when 6 million was killed, was 18 million Jews on the earth. And 6 million was killed by smoke, by fire, and by brimstone in the prophecy. Because the trumpet was what? The gathering of Israel. That the wars rushed them back in the homeland. That's right. God has chastened them. But how many know many of them get eternal life? How many know many of them get white robes? Because they held to what they knew. They're blinded and held to what they knew. And they've gone back in that land. And what's going to happen when they see that real atonement? And they're going to recognize, oh my, look what we did. Then if you are seeing how God's administration for his people work. Here in the book of Revelation, is still working according to how God set up his economy. How many for 2,000 years, everybody that was healed, was only healed one way. By his stripes. How many know in every age when they get the Holy Ghost, they have to be identified the word for the age to get a new birth. That's the only way. Things of God never change. It's still the same. We are brought back to it. Then if we are here, are we going to whoop and guess and grab? Or are we going to come sanely, intelligently, and right in the word? Are we going to work by the laws and principles that God set up his economy? Are we going to have a revelation of the divine approach to God? Blessed are they who you choose and cause to approach unto you. Is that right? Can anybody come? Can anybody pray in Jesus' name? You have to present a token with your prayer.
Amen.
Can anybody offer incense?
No, 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 no.
No, no, no. This is the Old Testament, nothing, friends. It's the New Testament.
Amen.
We took that Sunday at the time of prayer. Maybe I get a chance to read that here tonight too. And share Cornelius at the time of prayer, Peter at the time of prayer, Zechariah at the time of prayer, Jesus at the time of prayer. They all had the supernatural at a specific time. God does work according to how he set up his economy. And the people who really get God's favor or know how to get God's favor and work with the word is the people who come. Could a priest see a leper there and try to cleanse him without a the prescribed way that God's the cleansing? Could a man take the ashes of the red heifer and try to burn that red heifer to ashes without scarlet and running water and cedar wood and these things? And make it a thing to cleanse people? Could he do it? No. It had to be done God's way. Then in the New Testament, could a man see the sick healed by the prophet I tried out? I said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, come down, you devil. Devil, move. I said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the name of the great God of heaven. Nothing happened. He said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, let it come. Is that right? You read that. You know them things in the message. But now it makes more sense to you. Now you understand what you're reading in a deeper way. Because the way to come is a way to access God. You have to have a key. And the key must have the right levers. The key to the door is shut up. And you have a key to give you access to it. Every blessing is here. You believe that?
Yes, that's right. Amen.
But people, because you don't have the right attitude of approach, they don't get nothing. Remember Naomi told Ruth how to approach Boaz to get rest? Wash yourself, anoint yourself, go down there, take the low place. Did the Roman centurion newly approached to come to the Lord? I also am a man of authority. I said, I won't go and I won't come. And I know that you could just say, you don't have to just speak the word only. You don't have to come under my roof. This Syrophoenician woman, did she know the approach? Sure she did. Look at the people who was able to get something from God. And look at the people who couldn't get. Everybody is touching them and nobody is getting healed. Yet one man touched with faith and got healed. Is that right? Roman centurion, and them wanted to see a miracle. They slap him, them soldiers, speak, say who hit you, prophesy. He would not clown for them. They touch him and no virtue come from him. Yet a man touched with the right attitude and was healed. You only get according to what your approach is, what your attitude of approach is, will determine what results you get. God have it set up a certain way. And that's why I say our prayer life, our attitude, these things, it should change completely. It should change completely. So look at this people here. This is a law for removing guilt of a national sin by a sin offering. If the leaders of the people, let's say, had made a mistake concerning the law, caused the people to err, then the mistake was discovered, an offering must be brought, that the wrath of God would be removed from the people. Watch. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil, and shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord. That is the altar of incense. That is in the tabernacle of the congregation. See where this altar is? In the tabernacle of the congregation, not outside the door. This altar is in the tabernacle of the congregation. And shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. Same thing like what we read just now, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They poured all the blood at the door, but they put some on the horns of the golden altar, because both was connected together. Prayer is based on accepted sacrifice. The fire and the blood was on that altar. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock, a sin offering for the congregation. Did Jesus die outside the camp? Did he have to go outside the camp? Did the Bible say we go outside the camp bearing his reproach? Hebrews 13:20? Sure. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament type Christ. It spoke of only his blood can remit sin. By one offering, once and for all, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. He died for Jews and Gentiles, but the Jews didn't receive it. They were blinded. They held on to the substitute sacrifice, and they didn't recognize the true sacrifice that the substitute spoke of. Why? Because they didn't recognize Elijah. That's why Jesus asked them, was John a prophet? Was John a prophet? What went you to see? A prophet or more than a prophet? He says, is John baptism from man or from God? John was the forerunner. Is that right? John was to introduce the Messiah. The Messiah wasn't promised to be known by the whole congregation of Israel. The Messiah was to be introduced to them by the prophet. A voice of one crying in the wilderness. Is that right? Isaiah 40. They came to John and said, "Who art thou? Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Messiah? Art thou that prophet? Who art thou? Art thou Elijah?" He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." He came to introduce the Messiah. In St. John 1, he says, "I saw and bore record of the Spirit of God coming down upon him." And that's how he knew that that was the Son of God. Because John himself didn't know who the Messiah was. John was told, "Go and baptize. And the one you see, the Spirit descending on the form of a dove, that's the one." And when John saw the Holy Ghost come in the form of a dove, and here John was the eagle prophet, here Jesus was the Lamb of God, and here the Spirit of God come in the form of a dove. And the dove come upon the Lamb. And when John saw it, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," because he recognized it. He was the prophet. The word came to the prophet, and the prophet revealed the word to the people. But the Sadducees said, "No, I can't believe no prophet." The Pharisees said, "No, I can't believe no prophet." And so they held on to the natural animal sacrifice. When the animal sacrifice spoke of a greater sacrifice, because animal life, animal only have animal life. And an animal life is animal blood. An animal blood, an animal life couldn't redeem a human being, because a human being is a higher species than an animal. Is that right? But God gave that as a substitute. Speaking of the real Lamb that would come. And Isaiah, speaking of this Lamb, called him he. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Is that right? Did Philip preach Christ from Isaiah 53? Did he do it? Well, he said, "Of whom speaketh this?" Philip took that and preached Christ. A man in their own generation. A man that they couldn't accept was a prophet. Is that right? But was he the Messiah? He was the Messiah. And the churches couldn't receive it. And as Israel was blinded by holding on to this substitute, they couldn't recognize Elijah, so they couldn't see the Messiah. Didn't they tell Jesus? Disciples? They said, "How come all of a sudden that man is the Christ? Where is Elias? Elias must first come." And it even confused the disciples of Jesus. They come back to Jesus confused, saying, "How come the scribes say Elijah must come first?" He said, "Elijah already come, and them fellows don't even know it." Amen. Why? They have made the word of God of no effect. Preaching the doctrine, the commandments of men. You see, the problem is, when Moses came with the word, had no Sadducee church. When Moses came with the word, had no Pharisee church. When Paul came with the original gospel, had no Seventh-day Adventist and Pentecostal denomination and oneness and three, four square and assemblies of God and church of God. It didn't have all that. This is man-made denomination that just came a few years ago. Had no Jehovah Witness. Had no Pilgrim Holiness and Nazarene. When Paul brought the word, that's why he could say, "If an angel come from heaven and preach anything different, let him be accursed." And that's why that still stands today. Because every one of them denominations have it different to the original gospel. Yeah,
that's right.
They have it different. So look, all Israel was blinded. But Paul opened up that in Romans 11, where he shows how the Gentile was a wild olive branch grafting in. He says, "The wild olive branch grafting come in and is so blessed. What about when God restore back the real branch?" And he shook them Gentiles who go, "The Gentile branch, we Gentiles." He said, "What? Contrary to nature, your wild olive branch come in." He said, "Think of when the real branch is restored again, what the blessing going to be. If their rejection brings salvation to the world, what about the redemption? What is it going to bring? If the rejection could bring salvation to the world, what about what is going to bring? What the redemption going to bring? You see the thoughts of God? You saw the thoughts of God go past man theology? Leave man in the carnality? But look. So this was something a law that God gave. God gave this law, showing how the national sins of people doing something in ignorance. And I'm going to try and close now because the time is up.
on this. I'm going to read something from the fifth seal for you and show you how, if our altar is sprinkled with blood and the fire that came down and consumed that sacrifice, which is the Holy Ghost, what raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire loose him from the grip of death. Is that right? And the body couldn't see corruption either. He was raised up in a glorified condition. No pain, no debt, no sorrow, no nothing. Is that right? He could walk right through the wall. He could appear and disappear. Then that same fire that accepted the sacrifice is what came back on the day of Pentecost. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken these mortal bodies. Amen. When it came back on that early church and the lamp was lit and the fire began to cause the incense, the prayer to ascend. Their prayer wasn't going up by human strength, you know. They prayed in the spirit. They prayed with power. There was a voice. They spoke of the spirit making intercession with groanings and utterings and words that cannot be uttered. And that altar had a voice of that blood. Like the prophet said, I was speaking in another language. Like Jesus said, Talita Kuma, daughter, arise. Spoke in another language and the girl came back to life. And he says, I spoke in another language. I was hearing myself just speaking. And then here was this one who was dark, who was dead in another place, had come back to life. You talking about an altar? You talking about praying in the church? That is in the church. That is in this church. Because this church is part of an apostolic church. This is part of that restoration. May God help us to discover. May God help us to apprehend. May God help us to cultivate. May God help us to realize what is invested in the church of the living God. Hallelujah! You don't add to a seed. Everything is in the seed. It's been a comfort in its season. Who could have think Peter, but at the shores of Galilee, or when he backslid back there, who could have seen him a couple of days afterwards with 3,000 souls being saved and brother, the dead being raised and all of the different things taking place? Who could have seen him there afterwards? All could have seen the man naked denying Christ. I go back fishing. But look, when the same fire from that brass altar come on that incense altar. Look at the difference it makes. It was no intellectual prayer no more. It was no bunch of empty wagon rattling. It was no sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It was a man praying in the spirit. It was an intercessor with the spirit praying for the man. Amen. He himself became the altar. Do you know you are that very altar? You are that very altar. Yes, sir. Because that altar represented Christ. And it's Jesus in bride form today. The church is his tabernacle, is that right? It's Christ's faith, Christ's virtue, Christ's knowledge, Christ's temperance. It's Christ's spirit, it's Christ's word, it's Christ's life, it's Christ's acts, it's Christ's works. Everything that's being done is Jesus. Walking in your feet, speaking to your lips, thinking with your mind, working with your hands, believing with your heart. It's Jesus having the preeminence in the people, is that right? It's not you that do it the works, it's the Father that dwells in you that do it the works, is that right? In that day you'll know I in you and you in me, and greater is he inside of you than he lies in the world. He said, my Father, hear me always. Amen. Look what he said, my Father, hear me always. Why? I have the right altar, I have the right incense, I know the right approach, I know the coming his presence. He tells the prophet that not even cancer will stand before you. Nothing shall stand before you. Hallelujah. He said, I've never asked God for anything he didn't give me. And what he didn't give me, tell me why I couldn't have it. Amen. He said, in one prayer, I saw 25,000 people healed in one prayer. And 30,000 saved in one prayer. You talk about the horns of the altar sprinkled with blood? You talk about the power in prayer?
You know about Daniel on his knees, and the holy, the angel says, he says, since the day of prayer, from the day of bowing of prayer, you was heard in heaven. Is that right? Your incense come right up before the throne of God. Hallelujah! And just look at Daniel 2, how he prayed and he was able to get a rerun of the same program. Amen. And he could tell the king what he dreamt. And he could tell him the interpretation of what he dreamt. And when they threw him in the lion den for praying, he showed that his prayer was no vain repetition. It was no unscriptural prayer. He showed it was no empty whack and rattling. Because he said, all they want to see why I just pray, all they want to see why I just pray. And in the lion den, the faith shut the mouth of lions. Is that right? The king said, oh Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually. Read it in the Bible, whom you serve continually. He had a continual burnt offering and a perpetual incense on that altar. You talk about a praying church. You talk about a praying church. Look at the apostles. When they were praying in John Mark's house, the building shook. When they're praying for Peter, the angel come and they pull him out of prison. Is that right? You talk about a prayer. They say, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. We'll have incense on our altar day and night. At the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And we'll have the lamps trim at the same time. Because they have to trim the lamps the same time that they're offering the incense. And the incense will be offered when the sacrifice was being offered. Hallelujah! Because they had to get the fire from the altar where the sacrifice was accepted to burn the incense. Because any other incense was a strange incense. If your fire ain't coming from the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ, if it ain't coming from the pillar of fire, that's your kind of glory. Amen. But your prayer, it can't have no value before God. But Paul said, pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah! When I sing, I sing with the understanding. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they're back beaten. No doubt they were thinking about Jesus who bore stripes. Amen. Who was accused, brother, unjustly. Who was beaten unjustly. Amen. At the brass altar. No doubt. And they stood there themselves. And they identify. But they say, I feel the same fire from that altar here. Silas, let's offer some incense. Let's lift our hands at the time of the evening sacrifice. Oh my, and they were singing, and they were singing, brother, and the prayers begin to go up before God. Hallelujah! And the pillar of fire come down and shook the building. Is that right? And the prison doors open. You talk about priests could offer incense. You talk about a Holy Ghost anointed priest. Amen. Who know the power in the blood? You talk about the horns and the altars, brother. Those Jews, watch it, there was wrath that comes from that altar too, by people who reject the blood. Upon people who reject the blood. Watch it, I'm going to show you. Because that blood in that altar. That's why the angel, after he offered that incense, he take fire, no more incense, and just throw it into the earth. And when there's lightning, thunder, voices, he said, Father, I don't pray for the stalk is dead, I don't pray for that. He said, I pray for the grain. Like Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for them that you give me. And for them that will believe through them. Why? Because this age had rejected the Messiah. This age had rejected the sacrifice. Elijah restored the evening sacrifice. He restored the original same atonement that was in the morning time. He offered it up at the evening time. And they turned it down. Is that right? The four horns of the golden altar is here, friends. It's sprinkled with the blood. The bride, who is proven to be the bride by the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who has that name written in the forehead, she can ask in his name. She can pray the prayer of faith. She can stand there. Why? Because she's in that family. Those priests who have come to that altar and identify with the evening sacrifice. Not identify as a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Jordan doctrine. Identify with the original word. They have to offer the very same sacrifice in the morning. They have to offer the same one in the evening. Read Exodus 29. We went through that already. They have to offer that. Same message, same gospel, same doctrine, same thing. Come back at evening time. There's a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. Listen quickly. There's a quote. Fifth seal. Fifth seal opened up a lot of things. Sunday I closed with a quote in the fifth seal. He said, how could there no altar for sacrifice in heaven? How could the prayers be offered up? There must be blood to receive the prayers. Is that right? When we stand on earth, we are united with heaven, friends. God and man is united again. Uniting time and sign, invisible union. These are not just thoughts and slogans. This is a realization that the bride has come to the head, has come back upon the body. That's why the head appeared in the last days. The head come and unite with the body on earth. The body is the tabernacle. The head is the God of that tabernacle. They are in union, holy union. That's why holy faith and holy works going forth to create the promise in this hour. Now, who are these souls then? Come on, these souls under the altar. Souls under the altar, that's the fifth seal. Your fifth seal, those souls were the ones who was killed down through the age. You know that. And especially a lot of them under that sixth trumpet, where one third part of them was killed. This is Israel, that's to be saved as a nation. All them that are predestined, that's Israel. That's Israel itself. You say, oh, wait a minute, you say they can't. Oh, yes, they are to be saved. Yeah, let's just settle it a minute. I got 4 or 5 scriptures, prophets saying. Let's take Romans, and he goes to Romans 11, verse 25 and 26. Paul said, if anyone else, if my angel preach any gospel, what he was to be cursed, watch. For I would not have you, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, but should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The last Gentile bride be brought in for the bride. The blindness come to Israel for that purpose. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out a Zion, a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Right. Now they are Israel that's under this altar. Watch, Israel is blinded for the very purpose of us being saved. You believe that? Now, who blinded them? God. God blinded his own children. No wonder Jesus standing near the cross and them Jews howling for his blood. That was his own kids. He was the scripture. He was himself the word. And here he knowing that those people would have gladly received him. And that's the reason he blinded them. He knew them people would gladly receive him. But that's the reason he blinded them. So they wouldn't recognize him. He come in such a humble way and blinded them to it, that they wouldn't receive it. See, the scripture said they would do it, and they were blinded. Jesus pitied them even so much as he said, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. They were blind. Paul said they were blinded for a cause, for us. He's quoting Jesus and he's quoting Paul. He's quoting the Son of Man, the prophet, messenger, the first age. He's quoting them. He showed us what happened at the morning sacrifice. He showed us what's happening back here at the evening sacrifice. Watch. Notice now, I want you to watch this real close. They were given robes. They didn't have them. They were given white robes, each one of them. Now the saints already have one. They get it here. They get it here. The saints have one. They get it here. You remember my messages on the robe? The wedding garment. You had to get the robe before you go into the marriage supper. That's right, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Watch. He says, they already have one. They get it here. See, they had not a chance because they were blinded by God, their own father, so that the grace of God could be fulfilled, so the bride could be taken from the Gentiles. Let me show you a beautiful type here in Joseph. Joseph, the spirit man, the eagle, he was born among his brothers, just like the real church is among the other, and he could interpret dreams and see visions, and the rest of them hated him. His father loved him. Notice, then he was ousted by his brethren, not by his father, out by his brethren, and was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown into a ditch, supposed to be dead. Taken up and sit at the right hand of Pharaoh, and because he was ousted by his brethren, he was given a Gentile bride, not of his own people. To here he bore Ephraim and Manasseh, which was added into Israel, as Israel blessed them by crossing his hands from the youngest to the oldest. They crossed the blessings from the Jew to the Gentiles, crossed his hands to the younger son, which is the younger church to come in. The mother church stood in the son. She brought forth this baby, and notice to get him, Israel crossed his hands in type. And Joseph, them same children, was a Gentile mother. The bride of Israel, back there, become cross from the old Orthodox
come over to the Christian way by the Holy Spirit that crossed Israel's hands. He said, God crossed my hands. He had nothing to do with it. Remember, the church started Jewish. From the old Orthodox to the new Christian, was Jewish. Notice, then Joseph, rejected by his own brethren, his own people, took a Gentile bride. Just exactly what Jesus done, rejected by the Jews, took a Gentile bride. Now let me read something here. I got a scripture wrote down. Acts 15. Then he goes to read, Simeon had declared how God would call a people to the Gentiles for his name. And after they had held their peace, James answered saying, men and brethren, Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out them a people for his name. See, my wife's name was Broy. When I took her, she was a Branham. See, Jesus takes his church or his bride out of the Gentiles. It's the scripture type just like Joseph was. Now notice this. Now these souls under the altar, these souls understanding now that are under the altar. Why? They were martyred by sinful men like Eichmann. They are holding right on millions of them. But they remain Jews. Now remember, what was it? They were killed for the word of God's sake, not for the testimony of Christ. Do you understand that? That's what Revelation 6:9-11 says. You know that? Also, the martyrs of the church was for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. How many knows that here too? These did not have the testimony of Jesus. Thy souls on the altar. Revelation 6:9-11, the 15. For the word of God and the testimony which they held as Jews. And Hitler hated them. So did Eichmann. So did Stalin. All the rest of the world. But they stayed true to what they believe. Now watch how these people was under the wrath of God. But they're going to come back in the land and recognize their guilt. Amen. Is that right? And when they recognize the guilt, they will have the elders with them. Is that right? They're going to have two prophets with them. They're going to have back the original atonement with them. To remove the guilt. Is that right? And they'll be born as a nation. Is that right? But watch. All of that was the tender hand of Jehovah bringing them back to them. God hardened Pharaoh's heart to do what? Get them back in their promise. And that voice come from the haunted door and say, slay one third part of the men. Then for the Gentile side, the prayers was offered up. Those who was under the blood, those who had received the blood. Is that right? And then those who had rejected the blood, who put Christ in the outside of the church, he cast into the earth, and there was what? Lightning, thunders, voices, and earthquake. He said, mercy have been spurned, spiritual food in due season. Judgment have started into the end. Turn that cloud to the right hand. Let the priest hand you the book. The day of vengeance is at hand. What it is, get under the token or perish, because judgment, the wrath of God, is moving through the land. Only one provided place of worship, only one place of safety. And there, the voice of the blood speaks. There, the people are set out in God's economy. Outside of this message of the hour, you're not in the economy of God. You're in the economy of man, in organization that man built. But in the world, you come back to the faith of the fathers. You come back to the original apostolic faith. Elijah, at evening time, turned their heart back to their fathers. He repaired the altar. What a joy, friends. What a privilege tonight. As I show you Sunday, when that sacrifice was offered, that was the time the incense went up. That is the time of prayer. If any prayer is to be offered, it's being offered now. Revelation 5, the Lamb left that throne. Is that right? To take that seven seal book. And before he took that seven seal book and began to break the seals, brother, he took them vials out and began to pour out them praise. Revelation 8, under that seventh seal, that's the time when the thing is happening. When is the seventh seal? Between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Sixth trumpet is what? A voice from four horns of the altar. Slew until part of the men. Is that right?
we are under that sixth trumpet also.
That's right.
But what has happened to us? The name is written on our forehead. He called us out and he sealed, calling and sealing. And the dear seventh trumpet, they'll be called and sealed. They'll see the atonement. We recognize the true atonement, the original apostolic faith, the original word. The word is the Lamb. The Lamb is the word. All seven seals, the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. That the Lamb that was slain come back to us. The very revelation of Jesus Christ. We have the full Lamb and we have the full blessings. All the blessings is in this Lamb. Amen! And the full revelation, all seven voices thundered. And this Lamb was unveiled to us. And all seven spirits come back as the token, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the church in this hour. Who can ask anything in my name? The voice of the blood speak from the horns. There's a power, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous people, a justified people, the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride, justified. Never did it in the first place. Hallelujah! Standing there with a token and a prayer. Atmosphere of divine love and power. Great is he in you than he that is in the world. Friends, it's not church. We're not playing church here. We are walking in the promise. The Holy Spirit is breaking open the word and unfolding the mystery to let you see and understand what you have, what we are called unto, to let us see that, brother, we are lined back up to the original thoughts of God again. We come back to the original order of God again. Now there is a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation on the face of the earth that can offer spiritual sacrifices unto God continually. Continually! Now there's a people that can pray without ceasing. Because they understand what it is. Ancient. Well, what I will say, well, what I will say, I want to say, how will we pray all the time? What I will say, see, no Holy Ghost. But when you know the word, had a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. And brother, that covered the whole day. That's right. That's why Paul brought the full word. Irenaeus fought it to bring it back. What when the truth was being lost? Martin fought Balaamism. Columba fought Catholicism. Then when he went on the ground and died, up come Luther. He caught the first part of the restoration. Wesley caught the second part. Pentecostals caught the third part. And Malachi forgot up all and brought to the revealing of the Son of Man and introduced the Messiah. Brought the word back in its fullness. Brought the word back in its fullness. Do you see why people not knowing these things, they kind of wonder, like, I can't get a breakthrough, like I can't pray. Why you think Daniel's knees was in the ground and had no temple? Temple was burned flat in Jerusalem. But Daniel stayed for 21 days with no physical temple, no physical priest out there. Amen. But like David, let my prayer come up as incense and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And blessed is he whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Incense shall be offered everywhere. When the church is scattered in different places, watch the incense go up. Amen. Because they all know they are part of that priesthood. Amen. They understand the divine order of approach to God. That's when we started there, and I started saying, I said, this is the time of prayer. We have to come in here and the children consume. I didn't even know none of these things here. Going to the book of Samuel, hit that thing there with Mizpah and Ebenezer. Strike that thing here. Then gonna go in so many different directions. Somebody said, no, you're gonna get away. Something's supposed to happen. You have to stay here. Well, what are you gonna preach? Because I keep on going in Samuel, I have to keep on going what happened after with the king and going all over. And then he says, no, prayer. Then we come in the prayer service and can't seem to get a breakthrough. Can't seem to place so dry, the ground so hard. And then he says, go back to the altar of incense. His thoughts. Go back there. Gifted men in the camp, bringing to life what the prophet saw in the cloud and the mountain. Build it into the people, the hidden secrets of redemption. So God and man have a vision to bring God and man one. Is that right? That God could dwell among them. And look at here, Israel blinded. He says they were loyal to their cause. They were blinded and didn't know it. They didn't know it. They were playing exactly the part that God had ordained for them to play. And they were blinded. Now if they had been blinded by God, let them alone. They are not worthy. But being that they were blinded by God, His grace reached down to them. Talk about amazing grace. And give each of them a rule, because all Israel will be saved. Everyone that has his name written. My. A little chastening. Because everyone must be chastened. Try to get exercise unto righteousness. Bring forth peaceable fruit unto righteousness. But then they come back in their homeland. What for? To receive two prophets. To bring the seventh trumpet. What will that do? Bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit. An angel with the seal of God. Is that right? What will happen? They will know what tribe they belong to. They will know their position. They will know the inheritance. They will know their placing. What is happening here? The same thing is happening here to us now. Is that right? He left a measure of suffering in the church to for us to fulfill. Is that right? Because the church had went the creed and dogma to all them true. But in the last days, He come with the washing of the water of the word. After He stood in a sacrifice, then He come and wash us with the washing of the water. Bring us through a thinking man filter. Bring us through the waters of separation. Bring us back to our holy man pace. Is that right? Bring us to the dressed in the beautiful gown of the promised word, the clothes of the word, the garments of a royal priest. Bring us back into the courts of God again. Is that right? Bring us back to the original way of the apostles again. And to a world that rejected, lightning thunders, voices, an earthquake. But to the bride, the covenant is in effect. Not even death could come here. But every divine promise that He promised will be made manifest. Oh, I don't want to hold you no longer. It's too much. My. That's why He prayed after He tried to rock up. He said, Father, I pray not for the world. He had seen the lightning, thunder, voices in the earthquake. He says, they rejected the Messiah on Good Friday. God shook the earth. He said, why did the earth shake this Good Friday? When the Alaskan earthquake took place. He said they did the same thing again. They put Him on the outside of the church. He said it was a judgment sign when He told me to throw the rock up like Moses. Take water and dry land and pour it out. When they reject the voice of the first sign, the second sign, I give you two signs like Moses. They rejected it. Then came the third pull, judgment. The last part of every ministry brings judgment. But Abraham in the hour of judgment, with an altar of incense, could reach back and have some have compassion, plucking them out of the fire. He got the lot out. Is that right? And God remembered Abraham. And Moses said, Aaron, take the incense of the altar and run. Amen. Take some coals of fire of the brass altar too. And what happened? The plague was stopped. That's right. That's right. Do your altar have four horns? You know it only had two rings on that altar. It was four square, but it only had two rings. Not four. So it wasn't put down like a flat square, so to carry it, it was almost like on a corner. So the four horns faced the tribes that was gathered around the tabernacle. Because there's only four ways, east, west, north, and south. And that's how they camp, where the four cherubim, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, where they guarded every way to the tree of life. You talk about God? You talk about God of the Bible? You talk about God of order? We're not serving some denominational God. We're not some denominational idol. We walk in the mystery. We walk in this great divine revelation of Jesus Christ that has come back to the church in the last days. We've come under the intelligence, under the headship, friends. We come back into union.
I could have to run these last couple of days. All these things inside of me. I got one of the biggest temptations in my life today. I said, no, Lord, not me. And brothers from Zimbabwe called me last week. Brother Dioka was trying all hell to get a hold of me. I told Pastor, they're telling me he can't get a hold of me at all. Because they have to meet in the Congo, they will build a place, and they're having this big meeting in the Congo, and the dedication. Then the brothers in Kenya, they write, they say, when you came to Kenya in 1992, and you come back in 1998, they say, you know what it was for us? We hold on to these things here, and so we want you to give us a word and come. I send back the letter, I says, no way, I can't come. I've been sick, I've been down, the eagle have been grounded a little bit. Then today, these brothers from Zimbabwe call. They say, God will build a basilica, Steve. They says, they know the church in Harare, big. Last time we were there, had me about 5,000 people. Now about 7,000 people in Harare that believe the message. Church is all around. And they build this, extend a big church there. It's a big place. And they want to gather all the churches in Harare. And then they was calling me, you know, they use my friend who interprets to me, he's the voice of God representative in Harare, and he says they call me and they ask me to be the spokesman, and he's trying to negotiate to get me. I says no way. I says, I'm home. I said for me to say no right now is, you know, it's painful, especially when you come to Zimbabwe. That's a place I love with all my heart. That's had some of my greatest experience, greatest blessing in my life in preaching this gospel, happiest. I don't think there's a place I enjoy preaching like there, outside of here. And then I told him, I said, no, I says, it's painful for me, but I can't make it. I'm staying home. Just staying home and staying put. I says, with the kind of bums I says are packing right now, surely I would like to come. I say, but I'm just have to stay home. And then the brothers in Europe, they was calling to in Hungary. They wanted to have a meeting in Hungary and Slovak and Czech Republic and Poland, and we were to go for Easter gone, and we cancelled out. We couldn't go, and then they still trying to pull, because those things hold on to the word. You see, because as the days get closer, and you know, for a preacher, when you start to go in the word, and you find the places where the church is at and what the church need. And the things that can lead the church into a deeper consecration. That I was telling him today. I says, well, you know, we have been in a little series here, and the Holy Spirit have been trying to cultivate the spirit of prayer among us. And we are trying to enter deeper into a deeper consecration. Because we believe that that is what God wants us at this time. I says, so my place is home. And after I put on the phone, I felt good. Because I almost want to say, they say, anyhow, we're going to keep praying. That's why you pray, I'm going to pray too. But my place is home right now. I know that's the will of God for me. Right? If it's just a song, the bench in the back, when I can't preach, look over and see how things is going. Because it's too close, friends. That's why I say something is to happen at this place. I preach this tonight. These four horns of the golden altar to show you this was in heaven in the book of Revelation. And when the church age, the Gentile age, had come to its fullness, when the seventh seal was open and Christ was going to come down to gather the redeemed, and the church was going to be restored back to its original condition by the end time message, the seventh seal, go under that seventh seal, seven thunders, to literally turn the heart of the church back to the faith of the fathers. That's when those final prayers was being offered. The desire of the church for all seven ages. And that's not, God don't store all kind of old empty wagon rack in my father and my grandmother, no. That's people who pray for the divine promises, pray according to the plan. That's what the prayers, when we look in the Bible, and we saw how the apostles, what the prayer was, Paul praying for the church, seeing what the church is called unto. The prophet in this last day, praying for the church, seeing what the church is supposed to come to preach and to open these things. As we say, that's the incense that goes up
When we pray according to the word, when we pray according to the plan, when we plead what the blood has appropriated for us, what the blood has bought back for us, we pray according to the will of God. And that's why these things is being placed and identified to show to us. When you sit in the word and you understand what has been identified, you can't leave that and then go back the old way. You understand now your place. When we say a royal priesthood, it's not just like a sermon, it's a position, and we have to be ministered into that position. And when we minister that position, our life automatically will begin to discharge the functions of that sacred office, and then automatically we'll be a people of prayer and worship, because the Father seeketh such. Because when the book was opened to the time that they were praising and worshiping God, even the elders and the living creatures all joined in worship. That's right. Let's stand to our feet.
He says, look at the grace that came to them Jews. 1/3 part of the men was killed. On the other side of the church, 68 million was killed in martyrdom under Roman persecution, under the Inquisition. And there is also coming on persecution again for this persecuted, hunted group in the last days, who will have a short, powerful demonstration before she goes in the rapture. A repeat performance of all diabolical cunning and cruelty. That same Roman power going to be let loose again. Right now it's being let loose on the nations. Can't you see? How does it let loose on the Jews? Now it's been let loose on Iraq, it's been let loose on Afghanistan, been let loose in different places. That's right. It's all scripture. You know why? Because she must have the resources of the world to control the world trade and commerce, where you can't buy or sell. And she'll bring a squeeze even upon the elect, except you have the mark of the beast. And then we don't want to go into war and all kind of biological and chemical and nuclear weapons in their hands. Infidels, crazy people, people who reject the message of the hour, who is outside the blood of Jesus Christ in an insane age, cross darkness on the earth and upon the people, when hell is being created on the earth. You see what it is, friends? You see what you're talking about? Why do we get away from it? We get so far from the message. After all, we come to hear little tidbits. We come to hear little small about attitude and days and keep a good attitude. And we fail to see the mystery of God. We fail to see our calling. We fail to see our position. We fail to see our function. We don't fly high enough with God. Our prayer. And Kong Dong, he said your prayer is the radar. The astronaut in the spaceship. And that radar that guides him. That's a prayer. How many know that prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the hands of human beings? More powerful than the atomic bomb. They go into war because they feel big that they have nuclear weapons. What about the church who have prayer? Who have an altar of incense? Who have atonement restored back? Who have blood sprinkled on the horns of the altar? Who have anointed priests? Think of it. What are the church of the living God, friends? Can you see yourself the way God sees you? Or are you like Gideon saying, that's me you're talking about? It's me? Royal priesthood? Priests and kings? Priests have access, king of dominion. People with access and dominion? I could exercise the authority of Jesus Christ? If his authority is not in his church, tell me where it is. If he's not finishing his work bound through the members of his bride, tell me where he's finishing it. Can God work among the dead? Or does God work through the living? Out in Babylon is the dead, friends. The living members are in the bride. Oh my. When I see this great thing that have come to us, when I see in the Word as God opens it. If we have to go into prayer, what do you say? Come and say, saints, all you have to pray, all your prayer life. We're not going to get away. We'll have people struggling, you know, to pray, you know, the position, you know, what to offer, you know, how God set up His order to power them prayers. But when God can come and show you, you realize it's nothing about I can't pray, or I know that pray. No, it's not about that. He said, you called for that. If you're in the bride, you're born for that. You're chosen for that. You're anointed for that if you're in the bride. And the word has come back. You have the lamb. Who have the lamb outside the bride? Jehovah's Witness have the real lamb. Some Adventists have the real lamb. The Catholics have the real lamb. Hindus have the lamb. Elijah restored back the lamb, friends. Elijah introduced the lamb. Who can come to the altar? Who have the new birth in this age? Denomination have the new birth? There were denominational birth, born by false doctrine. You are born again by the incorruptible seed. You have come through the waters of separation. A total separation from all unbelief. A brass river. You've been have your hair sprinkled with blood. You've been dressed and robed. You've been anointed with oil. You've been quickened. And you've been raised up to minister in a heavenly place to God. Paul says, not dead works, but serve the living God. He said, they offer a sacrifice that cannot take away sin. You know why? They have the old substitute. They failed to see Elijah with the original sacrifice. Like the Sadducees and Pharisees failed to see John. And they're still trying to continue that same denominational worship. And God can't accept it. But when John introduced the real Messiah, then the ones whose call out knew the way. That's where we are. That's why. You don't have to fear and wonder. When you come through those doors, you realize you've been chosen and given such a special place. You've been given the privilege to draw near unto God. You have the mystery open up to you tonight. The grace has come to you, friends. Our sins are gone. They are gone completely. Now we can have confidence before God. Now we know His will and we can ask according to His will. Now we're not just praying all kind of Lord for this and for that. Like, no, we know the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom. We live in the kingdom. And we know everything, brother, is given unto us. The unprofitable servant, he served him in the field and served him in the house. And then God appointed time for him to have his own things. And he's contented with that. Amen. To be in the presence of his master. Do you know grace? Amazing grace. This is the message of grace. It has come back to us. The first message was over that slain lamb. When God revealed that way, friends. The last message is when that capstone comes with shoutings of grace to cap off the pyramid in the last days. Because to complete the temple. Let us sing the chorus here first. Do you know grace? Amazing grace. Have you heard how sweet the sound? There are many dangers, toils and snares. We've already come. Look where you came from and where you are. Look where you are tonight. Look where the word identify you tonight. Can you believe that? You can receive that? Remember, you can't work for it. It is by election and calling. It is God's gifting. God said, Aaron, you and your sons, the priesthood is in you. God by election and calling put it in them and nobody else could come into it. And God by election and calling put you in the bride. And outside the bride nobody could have that favor before God. Do you know grace? Let's just sing that song. And sing it as one who knows grace. The spirit of grace and supplication is to be poured out
when he opened that fountain in the house of David, when they begin to see and they begin to pray and they begin to offer up the incense, and a people who was under guilt and condemnation, see that guilt and condemnation removed, because they recognize that atonement restored back by them two prophets under the seventh trumpet. They saw that his chastening hand was just for a time, so he could bring them to the place. That same horn to the altar is speaking tonight. Maybe he's chastening for some of you, but it's not to kill you, friends. It's to bring you into your place. It's to bring you to remove your guilt and your condemnation. It's to wake you up to recognize that he called you to live higher than where you are, to bring you to a greater revelation, to see what he has made you in Christ. Do you know grace?
Do know grace?
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace.
Have you heard tonight? Have you really, really heard? How sweet the sound. Oh, there are many dangers, toils and snares, but they all fade away. It can't stop you. It only helps you move on forward. It's only to make you strong. Ready, come.
Empowers your prayer and send it in the presence of God.
that pull down strongholds. Break every hold of the enemy, amen. Drive sickness away. Stop plagues. And make you obtain promises. Bring reconciliation back to God.
We've already come. Oh, look where you came from. Him to take his bride. Isn't that the hour that we're living in? Can you feel the Holy Spirit opening up this to give you faith for rapture grace? Giving us incense in the altar so we have something to burn with the holy fire, and he chooses you and I. His election, his calling. Live in that land forevermore. Forevermore. When we've been there. Are you looking forward to being there? Have you heard your name called? Message of grace that thundered into my soul, that called my name, that showed me elective love. Do you know grace? Oh, children, think about it. Sing grace. Have you heard tonight? There are seven voices thundering out that sweet sound. A sweet song. He made you kings and priests. He gave you access to his presence. He anoints you with the Holy Spirit. He robe you in the word. He give you a channel of communication. Many dangers, toils and snares, we've already come. Look where you came from, where you are, and I'll ask you, do you know grace? Oh, one more time, do you know grace? No grace. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. Have you heard how sweet the sound? There are many dangers, but that's near. Look where you came from, out of Egypt, born in bondage, but he chose Levi, he chose Aaron and his sons, and he gave them a priesthood. No grace. Have you ever studied the life of Levi? When Jacob was blessing his sons, he said, Levi and Simeon, and them fellas' tents is instruments of cruelty. He said, don't mess with them fellas. They are mean. Remember how Levi and Simeon waged war when Dinah was defiled, tear up the whole city? Yet out of Levi, out of such crude, rough, mean, wicked men, God by election choose Aaron and his sons and put a priesthood that they could draw near, washed by a prophet, clothed by a prophet. Anointed by a prophet and sent into the place of service in the Exodus. after the prophet came back from the mountain, after he came down from that cloud, where God thundered to him, where God showed him the position of that special family that they are going to have. You are part of that family today, friends. A priestly family. Look what we were, friends. Look what we were in the beginning. Look at that nature that we had. Mean and cruel, wicked, revengeful and everything else. But look where God chooses to draw near, to offer sacrifice to him, to stand in the gap. Hallelujah! What a great thing! Oh, thank you, Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. Hallelujah! Oh, lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Let's just sing before we pray. Amen. Hallelujah! Let's give our hands to him as a sign of surrender. Amen. Oh, God, we want to be that kind of priesthood. If the Aaronic priesthood was like that, how much greater is the royal priesthood, kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Lift your hands as like the evening sacrifice, and let your song go up as sweet incense as you stand before the golden altar. Hallelujah! That what is in heaven is being reflected on earth, and heaven and earth is in harmony. That what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loose in heaven. That there's agreement, there's harmony, there's unity. Oh, sisters, you sing it. Lead me, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. That's our heart desire. Like you called Moses, like you called Samuel. Go, that's what Rebecca says. Come on, brothers, lead me, Lord. Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. Oh, you have called me. Together now in one voice, like when they dedicated Solomon Temple, amen. And the glory of God came down that day. Everything was in harmony. Me, Lord, I will go. You have called me. That in your heart, him. Make your vow and perform your vow. Amen. Hallelujah. Unto thee the vow shall be performed, David says. But Anthony Melville, amen. I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. Call me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Thanksgiving, O God, unto you tonight. Lord, we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To the King of Kings, hallelujah. Our lovely Lord Jesus tonight. We thank and praise you tonight, Father. We glorify your precious name, O God. Thank you, Father. Lord, for your unmerited kindness, Lord. For your amazing grace, Lord Jesus. Oh, for your mercies, Father. Extended in our direction, Lord. How we praise, how we thank you, Lord. How we bow before you tonight, Father. For your great calling, O God. Your grace, your election, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For your privileges, Lord. And your benefits, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank and praise you tonight. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. Father, oh God, how we thank and praise you, Lord. Lord, our mouths, our tongues are so short. We don't have sufficient voice to express how we feel our hearts tonight. Seeing a great calling and election, Father. The place you have called us, oh God. It's the blessed is he whom thou hast chosen and cause it to approach into your courts, oh God. What a privilege tonight. Father, oh God, many people feel so privileged to be in the presence of the Prime Minister. Yes. Some great man or president or something, Father. But what a privilege for the bride tonight. What a privilege for us tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. To be drawn into your divine presence, Father.
Hallelujah.
We thank and we praise you tonight, Lord. Lord, Father, it's the greatest thing, Lord, any mortal man can have, Lord, is to be invited in your presence. We thank and praise you tonight, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank and praise you, Father. As we come tonight, oh God, with gratitude, Lord Jesus,
hallelujah.
Father, as we stand here tonight, amazed at your grace, Lord, receive it tonight. We thank you. Lord, we recognize we are the ones you have called for this position, Father. We are the ones you have chosen, oh God. And we see your word coming forth by your Spirit, Lord, instructing us, Lord, how to approach, Lord, how to enter, Father. How to come behind the veil, Father. How to come, oh God, Lord Jesus. You're provided with, Father. It's because we are the chosen ones. It's because we are those people, Lord, that great mission is being made known unto. How we thank you, Father. As we come tonight, oh God, we just want to surrender ourselves, Father.
Yes.
Seeing a great mission of your will being made known to us. You have called us priests, Father. Oh God, a royal priesthood tonight, Father. Of the order of Melchizedek, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
How we thank you, Father. A great eternal order tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, we come surrender ourselves to you. How we so want to fulfill that. How, Lord, you've torn the seals off our lives, Father. Discover services, Lord, and make us to know who we are. And the great purpose we are born for. We thank you tonight, Lord. We pray, oh God, Father, you will so fill our hearts with divine love, oh God. Lord Jesus, I will stand to minister the priest's office. To stand, Father, before the living and the dead, Lord.
Yes.
Our hearts burn when we see what is wrong us. When we see sickness. When we see sin, when we see people in bondage, oh God, our hearts burn, Father, for the people, oh God, for them who wrong us, our loved ones, Father. Fill our hearts with your divine love, Lord Jesus. And we stand here, oh God, Lord, on their behalf, to receive pardon for them, Father.
Hallelujah.
To receive mercy for them, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
As intercessors, Lord Jesus. Oh, the is that what is that tonight, Lord? Recognizing what we are born for, Father. It's under this cause you are born, Lord. Oh, we thank you tonight. We yield ourselves, Lord. We accept the calling, Father. Receive our God, Lord, and put upon us, Lord. This responsibility, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We thank and we praise you, Father. Bless your people tonight, Lord. How we thank you, oh God, for the brass altar tonight. How we thank you for the evening sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
How we thank you for the seven sheep and open up, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
The full word of God may restored back, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How we thank you, Father, for all some incense tonight, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. How we thank you for the talking tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We can approach you, Father. Lord, with our prayer, with the talking, Father. Then our prayer shall be answered, oh God. For your promise in the word, whatever you ask the Father in my name, you shall have it, oh God. You promise these things, Father. Oh God, you promise these things, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you tonight. Bless your people tonight. Lord, may they see this great calling. May they understand and comprehend, Father.
Yes, Lord.
This great grace that we ministered unto them.
Hallelujah.
Lord, what you have made them in Christ, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Why the seven seas have been pulled back? Why the missions have been revealed, Father?
Hallelujah.
It's to make known unto us our strange and peculiar life. Oh, God, what you have called us unto, Father. A special calling. We didn't do none for it, Father. It's your grace, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
It's your mercy and your love, Lord.
Yes.
How we want to fulfill that, Father. Oh, that's our desire tonight.
Oh,
I desire like your desire tonight, Lord. Fulfill that holy calling, Father. We thank and we praise you. Help us to walk right.
Yes.
Help our heirs to be anointed with your blood, Lord. Will you grant it, Father?
Yes.
Have our right time to be anointed, Father.
Yes.
Our right victory to be anointed, oh God, with your blood, Father. Lord, recognizing what you have called us unto, Lord. Not just a sermon being preached. Not a thing being said, Father. But the Holy Spirit instructing us.
Hallelujah.
And then tell us what you call us to be, Lord. How to approach, Father. How you must be washed by the word, by the wash of the water, by the word of the prophet in this day, Father. As we approach you, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh God, we thank you for the veil, oh God. Lord, being just cast away, Father. Lord, you've unveiled yourself, Lord, a veil pulled back, Lord. We can see the act tonight. We can see the mercy seat tonight, Father. With the blood of Jesus Christ fresh tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord, while there's judgment on Jericho, Lord, there's a little Rahab tonight. Hallelujah. With a token on display, Lord. Hallelujah. With a covenant and effect, Father. Oh, we thank and we praise you tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. We thank and we praise you. What you've made us. Bless your children tonight. Give them revelation in their hearts. May they grasp it, Lord. May it be so real in their souls, Father. This great grace, Lord. This great calling. This great choice of yours, Father. What you've made us tonight, Lord. We thank you. And we praise you, Father. Make it so known, Lord. Help us to walk responsible, Father. Help us to walk conscious, Lord, of who we are, Lord.
Thanks.
Hallelujah. Like that African son, that king's son, Lord.
Yes.
He was conscious who he was, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he walked like a son of a king.
Thanks.
He behaved like a son of a king, Lord.
Thanks.
Help us to be conscious like that tonight, Father.
Thanks.
As we go about, oh God, to declare your glory and fulfill your will. Bless his servant tonight.
Yes.
We pray a strength in him, oh God. We pray continue to pour your revelation down in his soul, Father. We pray, oh God, put him in a place he can catch the thoughts of God. That a mission can be made known unto us, Father. Giving us more faith, Father. Then you say in your word, oh God, it will be these divine mission truths.
Hallelujah.
That will literally turn the heart of the children.
Yes.
Back to the faith of the Pentecostal
fathers.
Exactly so, Father. Lord, we see our faith have been rising up, Lord. We have come into that knowledge, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank
a spiritual
Lord.
Understanding and illumination,
thank
Father.
You, Lord.
Oh, God, experiment and experience in our souls, Lord. We thank and we praise you. Continue to bless him and strengthen him, oh God. Continue, oh God, Father, May you touch him to the crown of his head and the sole of his feet. Strengthen him, O God, in the inner man, Father. Strengthen him in the body, Father. Strengthen him in the mind, O God, Lord. Oh, we pray for tonight, Father. We come in one mind and one accord, Lord, the church of the living God. May your spirit, O God, rest upon him in a mighty way. May the virtue be restored him tonight, Lord. Grant it, we pray, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, how we thank and we praise you. As your children go tonight, may this word go deep down in your heart. May the spirit continue to reveal itself, Lord, as we go in the cars, in our homes, in our dreams tomorrow. May the Holy Ghost bring back the word and make it more plain and more clear to us, Father. Make it more real in our lives, Father. May you grant these things for us, Lord. Oh, God, we thank and we praise you. Have your way in our lives, Father. We are so glad to be in the service tonight.
Hallelujah.
We are so glad, Lord Jesus.
Thank
what
you
made us to be, Father. We thank you, Lord. We say like Mary tonight. Be on us according to your word, Father.
Hallelujah.
Glad to be praying tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you.
Amen. Praise his mighty name. Turn and give your brother and sister, God bless them. Fellow priests, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary beyond holy, tried and true. My. You see, brother, you know, I begin to move forward now. Seems like these past few months, God has been just washing me. I deliver. I feel He's clothing me tonight. I feel He's anointing me. Some of you might say, I'm entering in. I have the incense. It's mixed together. It's well compounded together. I stand there. I see the blood sprinkle upon my altar. I have the holy fire upon my altar. With the incense. My incense is ascending. It's going up. Amen. But the priest was moving back and forth in the service. And many times they pick up a little defilement. But they go down to leave and they wash. They don't stand that condemnation. They don't say they're bound up. No. They go and they wash. And they go back in the presence clean. And they come back out. Because there was no floor in the tabernacle. So they pick up a little defilement now and again. In contact with the world. In the course of going to and fro in this world. Amen. But then you have that labor there. God have a place to wash and keep you clean. So you can keep ministering in His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. As He prosper you, as He bless you. Amen. Oh my. Let's just sing this little song. It is you, Lord, who came and saved. Amen. The heart and soul. We are His sanctuary today. And inside of this tabernacle is all those sevenfold equipment. Amen. That bring God's presence down on the inside. Amen. Holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, oh, sanctuary. It is you, Lord. You, Lord, who came and saved. Oh, the heart and soul. Every man. It is you, Lord. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. Oh, give me strength tonight. Some dunamis, Lord. Oh, sprinkle me with your anointed oil. Hallelujah. Very pure and holy, tried and true. Oh, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living. Sanctuary, a living tabernacle of the living God. Amen.
Oh, lead me on, Lord. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Oh, purify me from within. From within. Oh, fill my heart. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. And take away all of my sin. In that tabernacle, outside, the furniture was brass. You had a brass altar and you had a brass laver. But when you enter in, you had golden lampstand. You had a golden altar. You had a table of shewbread, but it was covered with gold. Everything was gold. It was deity on the inside. Hallelujah! Deity on the inside. Oh, blessed be His wonderful name, friends. Something, a heavenly nature, partakers of a divine nature. The inside was so beautiful. Outside was badger skins. It looked so ordinary. It looked like nothing. Some of you say, I wish I was taller. I wish I was more stately. I wish I had a straightened nose. I wish my teeth were straight. I wish my eyes, you know, bright and blue or something. Oh, I wish my head wasn't so big. My, you see all kind of thing on the outside. You look like nothing. Looks ordinary. But on the inside, His glory. Hallelujah. It's divine. It's something celestial. Oh, my. It's God's dwelling place, friends. Think of it by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. The world don't know that faith is on the inside. They don't know the kind of power of prayer that comes forth from your heart and life. Oh, my, they don't know the sweet savor, the odor of a sweet smell that goes up before God out of your life. The Christ that dwells in you. Oh my. Just give him a wave offering tonight. Just wave to the Holy Spirit tonight. Oh Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We magnify your name tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. There is none like you, Lord. Oh God, you alone are the one true and living God. Holy, holy, holy is thy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great thou art, O God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, O God. Oh, thou art the fairest of 10,000. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name this evening. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lamb of God. Oh, God, holy, holy, thou alone and worthy, all blessing and glory and power and might and dominion be unto you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be His wonderful name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory and praise be unto His mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, with grateful hearts tonight, with love and adoration tonight. Thank you, Jesus. With a heart full of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. A sweet incense ascended up unto God from the golden altar, where anointed priests minister, where the lamps are trimmed, and where the blood is sprinkled on the horns of the altar, and where the holy fire burns. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. How we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh, yes, we do, Jesus. With all our hearts and souls, all of our might, all of our strength tonight. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh, one more time, hallelujah. Lift our hands to him. As the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. And our song comes as sweet incense. Hallelujah. As it goes into the four quarters of the earth, where the four horns are pointing, the influence of the bride of Jesus Christ, a royal priesthood, the light of the world and the salt of the earth, a chosen generation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, blessed Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may have your seat. God bless you. Bless you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I have an announcement here, a reminder concerning the MP3 CDs of the entire message library that we were speaking of last Friday. And this is to remind you that you put down your name if you're interested. As we say, take the privilege and try to get it at the price that you're getting it for. At this time, see the trustees, see the librarians, and they will inform you more, and they'll put up a couple of notices, because we certainly have to try to capitalize on this opportunity. We can have the entire library, the message, each one can have it in their own home. I assure you, it's just about this size of the little case with the 19 CDs and the MP3 player. And you see the librarians and the trustees are going to make a down payment, and they will inform you further all the details, and plus they'll have a couple of notices up on the board so we can try to put things in place. And we sent an email to the brothers concerning it, and the response that we had after we made the announcement on Friday, and that we are interested in securing some for the believers in the assembly. So God bless you tonight. Hope you enjoy being here tonight and enjoy the service of the Lord. Amen. Are you happy to be in his house? You glad? I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. But Ken comes, amen. Certainly a wonderful time for God's people. Let's be out Friday. Friday's prayer service. So let's come now and really exercise and function in the office. Here we are hearing the word, here we've been instructed, here we've been washed, here we've been clothed, here we've been anointed. Friday when we come, it's not to be washed into an anointing now, it's to take your position and begin to function and discharge the functions of that office. And let's be a real praying church, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous people availeth much. God bless you.
Praise one of the name, amen.
Thankful for sweet presence tonight, amen. Oh, there's a sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of the Lord. Just sing that song.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it is the spirit of the Lord.
Yeah,
this place.